Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the Midnight Garden, otherwise known as the Midlight Garden, if you saw my Facebook post today. Misspelled the name of my own show. But it's Midlight, and I wonder maybe if Midlight Garden might not be a better word, or is there a better theme? I'm not sure exactly what Midlight would be. Is it the middle of light? Is it a lighter version of mid, as opposed to mid-heavy or mid-regular? What possibilities could present themselves with the Midlight Garden? Unfortunately, we'll never know because I got bored and I quit thinking about it. But in any case, and then I went and I corrected the post, so it is now the Midnight Garden again. I'm your host, Mudto Sasquatch, sometimes called the Uncommon Shaman. Some people ask why I call myself a shaman. I don't really. Other people do. So I was called that first by Chief Iggy, who's the producer of our show here. I don't know. I say what's in my head and in my heart. I speak as spirit directs me to speak, and I pray that my intentions are aligned with those of spirit, and then I say whatever the hell comes in my head. And I don't know how terribly exciting it is. Usually, probably not at all. But my hope, of course, is that somebody out there listening needs to hear something that I say, and I proceed on that basis. So, again, welcome to the show. I didn't quite make it home tonight. I was working. I got done at 10 o'clock, and I headed home, and I stopped for pizza on my way home, and I screwed around a little bit too long there at the sports bar. I flirted with the waitresses too long, and got to be about 11:45 and realized I wasn't going to make it back to my apartment in time to do the show. So pulled off. Here I'm in the parking lot of our grand casino here in my big city in the Midwest, and all the activity going on around me. Not really. Yeah, it's just so I'm parked pretty far away from the casino, but there is a pretty steady stream of cars going in and out. So we'll see how that energy affects the show. And that one just came in and then out. That's interesting. I guess they just decided they didn't like the spot, or they didn't like me, or what. I mean, it's kind of hard to not take it personally when somebody pulls up right next to you and then instantly goes, okay, they were aligning their car in the parking space. Excuse me for making assumptions there. And they're here, and it looks like they're going to go in and have a great time at the casino. I haven't been in the casino for a while. Lack of money is usually one reason, although I haven't gambled too heavy. I think I lost $10 the last time I went and gambled in there. That's been more than a year ago. And I made $5 the time before that. I think those are the only times I've actually put some money on the line. Usually I use the casino for entertainment purposes. And I don't mean that facetiously. Now, I haven't seen this so far this year, but last year during the summer they brought some fairly heavyweight acts here. I mean, at least they were heavyweight, 25 years ago. But the Pointer Sisters were here, and I was here for some other reason, and I saw them do their soundcheck. And they sang I'm So Excited, which was kind of nifty. I would say I was disappointed that they used recorded music. They didn't use live music, which at least the Pointer Sisters, they ought to have a band. But in any case, it was fun to see them. And then I didn't come back for the real show because I saw them sing I'm So Excited. Why do I have to come back for the real show? Excuse me. And I remember, I think Eddie Money was here. And there were some other ones, too. And I haven't seen anything like that advertised this year. So I don't know if they ran out of money and ran out of budget for that or what. I know the last time I was here, I noticed they've been doing a major renovation of the games that they have. So maybe they were not satisfied that they were bringing the proper income to the good citizens of Ohio who got behind this project some years ago. Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, I haven't been in there for a while. The first time I have, I've used their parking lot on a few occasions to do the show. This is the first time for this reason, though. In the past, back when I was filming high school football games, I used to be coming home late quite often, and I would have to pull off someplace along the way, either like at the rest stop or find some mall someplace and pull off in their parking lot and do the show there on the way home. First time this has happened for this reason, for quite a while. So it's a bit nostalgic, I would say. I may have been able to. I mean, I got here. I pulled in here about 10 till midnight. And it's possible, if I'd made all the lights, I might have gotten to the apartment and rushed in and gotten on the phone right away. But it never works that way. Gotta dial the number and get the code and put all that stuff in, and that takes some time. And so that's just better. Why be in a hurry? Just sit here and do the show in a leisurely manner, and then go home in a leisurely manner, and go home and get sleep right away because I got to turn around and be to work tomorrow morning. Well, but being there at noon means that I have to get in the bus at 10 o'clock. I am giving the bus another chance. I can't remember whether I said anything about this last week or not. But the last two times I've been on the bus, I've had weird things happen, and I stopped using it for a while. The first thing, pardon the coughing. I'll get to that here in a second. First thing was, I was coming home, and there was a lady in the back seat of the bus having an animated conversation with four other people who weren't there. As best as I could figure it, the people were her husband or boyfriend, her son, her daughter, and God. She was having this sort of running conversation with them all. It was always her voice, except one time I'm thinking she became her daughter for a bit. But most of the time, I think 98% of the time, it was her. Keeping up this conversation, most of the time it was pretty civil. But she was also pretty angry with them, and so the voice got raised a few times. She kept repeating a phrase. If she remembered it, she said, she kept saying, "I'm sorry I said that." I guess I'm sorry I said that. Maybe one of those times the show gets cut short a little bit. I was feeling pretty good about my chances because I hadn't coughed for a while. But now, see, I'm talking now, and that kind of ruins the whole thing. I may have to get a little bit of Dr. Pepper left here. Maybe that'll neutralize. Well, anyway, I was talking about, so that first one, that was pretty, it was just kind of weird. It wasn't, a terrible thing. So, what the hell? Crazy people got to live to. And crazy people, if you're going to encounter crazy people, it's probably going to be on the bus because, they can't drive and they can't take the taxi because the taxi people aren't going to put up with them. So she was on the bus. Next time I took the bus, there was a young lady got on the bus, sat behind me, and not long after that, the guy who was sitting on the bus across from us, in the seat across from us, got up and went to the front of the bus, talked to the driver, and then sat up there, didn't come back. I didn't think anything of it. And then I started feeling something hitting me on the back of the neck, and this girl was spitting on the back of my neck. And just know, I started paying attention, I was hearing the sound, pss, 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 like this. And the next step I got off, I was like madly wiping all the spit off the back of my neck. It was not an insignificant amount of fluid. And it's going down the back of my neck and stuff. And I had to sit because we were out in the boondocks, at the mall where I work. It was about 45 minutes between buses, and it was, very hot. I had to stand and wonder what the hell was wrong with that girl until I let the spit dry on the back of my neck, which was similar until the next bus finally came. But that's like, and then like a couple of days later, I got this cold, and I'm wondering if that young lady was infected in some way. And pass that along to me because I haven't gotten sick for quite a while. And I was fairly sick. It's not anywhere close to the worst cold I've ever had. But it followed the usual cold pattern for me, though. Because I start to, I notice it as, you know, the sniffles first. That's the first thing I notice. Then I get the the nose all filled with snot and I can't breathe. And I have my eyes get all puffy and I start to get feverish. And that part of it lasts for about 2 or 3 days. Then that lets up and it goes to the coughing. And the coughing can last, you know, 2 or 3 years. But it takes a long time for the cough to work itself out. And that's what I'm going through right now. I just don't have any of the, you know, any of the sniffles anymore. Sleeping fine, just it's the coughing, and I can't carry on a conversation with anyone, which is, you know, a little bit problematic if I'm supposed to be selling stuff to people. And I have to kind of hide sometimes because I can't, you know, I can't make a good pitch because the coughing keeps stopping me. So I guess that's. I'm not thinking of things that have happened since the last time I spoke to you. I did get to see my granddaughter. It's her birthday. It's her birthday party. And she's 8 years old. And this is sort of a limited event. They've split up her birthday party. She used to have, you know, one big birthday party where everybody in her life came to see her. Well, now her mother and her dad have gotten divorced. So it was always kind of awkward, you know. I sort of wanted to go over there to her dad and, you know, punch his lights out because he was so shitty to my daughter. But we didn't do that. But they decided to break it up. So now sort of Brenda's, my daughter's wing of the family came to their house, their new house, which is out here in the burbs outside of our big city in the Midwest. An older neighborhood, and I mean one of the first, one of the earlier suburban neighborhoods, back when they had those kind of those the streets that kind of snake along, you know, and they cross each other, and a lot of them have the same names. And I know when I was going there, I had to turn from Paris Boulevard North onto Paris Boulevard West, and so you can get very easy to get crossed up. And found it okay after I passed it once. I did find it okay. My parents found it okay. My brother was driving. Then we had a cookout and gave her presents, and it was a lot of fun. And they have a nice little house, nice little starter home. There's a big split level, which you don't really see so much anymore. It's, you know, like it's sort of a quasi basement, and then you go up 4 or 5 steps, and you're in the living room. And you go up 4 or 5 steps, and that's where the bedroom area is, and then. Between the, you know, well, actually, this is on the same level as the living room. They have the kitchen, and it's a pretty nice sized kitchen. So it's in a very large garage area for my daughter's new husband and his hobbies. So they seem to be very happy, and that's very good. I like that them, you know, they're in a nice area and living nicely. Makes me horribly jealous. Although I said, yeah, I told her I was horribly jealous. Although I told her I don't know what I would do with a house like this. I guess it's, I'm in this room now. Okay, now I'm in this room. Okay, now I'm in this room. So just try to be, say, a shamanistic thing. Try to be, what is the expression, grow where you are planted. I'm planted in my tiny little apartment on the west side, which is, again, it's fine for me. There's no logic in my pining for anything else. You know, my thinking about something, I wish I had, you know, something better than this apartment. Okay, maybe that would be nice, but I have all the room that I need in my 3 rooms. I have a living room that I don't use at all, a kitchen, and a bedroom. And I mean, that's and a bathroom, so I guess it's 4 rooms. I do wish they would come and close that door to the basement. Because I have been told there are rats down there from time to time. And they left. I can't remember the reason they left the door. We aren't supposed to go down in the basement. And there's like a security door that they open up when they need to get down there. And they left it open for some reason. They had workers in there or something putting in water heaters or something. But the door's still open. I mean, it kind of makes me nervous. I don't like having it open like that. Call them up and say, can you close that door, please? Well, that coughing must be pretty annoying. I'm sorry. So I promise you it's annoying on this end too. And the other thing that's annoying is my back has been annoying me again. And my appointment to see my doctor has been postponed, so it's going to be a while. I'm going to have to find my way through this. But it's just, I think it's just being up and around and bending and putting stuff away at the store that's giving me some fits on that. That's a lower lumbar strain that's been bothering me for the last 13 years or so. I was going to say it's an exercise in patience, but I don't think that's correct. What I'm thinking of, it's an exercise in something. How I get through. I don't know what's the fancy schmancy word for that I'm trying to think of. I go every day and I think, oh, gosh, I'm never going to make it through this day. I'm never going to be able to make it through this day. At the end of the day, I've made it through the day. It wasn't particularly pleasant, but I made it. It's an accomplishment, and I don't get accomplishments so much anymore. I used to get accomplishments a lot. When I was working in the real world and doing my real job, I used to accomplish things, and people would tell me how wonderful it is that I accomplished them. And I don't, I mean, a good accomplishment for me is what? Going to the library and making sure I've got payments scheduled for all of my utilities. I get that done, and I accomplished something today. I got something done today. I truly don't remember when I was working, because I worked 40 hours a week for many, many years. Like, how did I ever get my personal business done? Because I have trouble, I'm at 20 to 25 hours now, and I have trouble getting it done. And I think at least part of the explanation is I was married then. I wasn't doing it. Someone else was. That's have all these other tools available to me, except not at home. I don't have internet at home, so to find my way to the library, which can be inconvenient. I was at the library and somebody was receiving a counseling session, which made me a little bit jealous because I don't have a counselor anymore. And I don't, at this point, I'm not terribly anxious to try and get another one. Thinking maybe. I don't know the whole, I'm not prepared to say the whole counseling thing has run its course, and I've gotten all the juice I'm going to get out of it. I will say that when I was starting with this new counselor, I was very conscious of telling the same stories over and over again. The same stories I told the previous counselors. I don't know that it's have I made any progress? Is this process getting me where I want to be, or is this fulfilling a sort of tangential need of talking about what's up with me? And when I'm not comfortable about talking about that to anyone else, really. But there's someone who has to sit and listen, and listen with a fair degree of dispassion. There isn't going to be, there shouldn't be, any judgment come from a therapist. So I can, with a fair degree of safety, sit there and say whatever I want to say. And I think that's really the point that's been. That's what I'm doing. That's the only reason I'm doing it, is because I want to, I want to talk about things. And ooh, guy's back. In the red truck that pulled up and beside me, and he went up to the casino. He must have lost everything. He's lost his entire fortune, and now he'll go drive into the lake or something. That's terrible. That's what I think. I go to that because that's always what I thought of doing, was driving into the lake or into the reservoir. So when I come up with these scenarios for other people, that often finds its way into the equation. But he got done relatively quickly. I used to come here when I was working with working at assisted living. I used to bring a client here, and he'd take me on a merry race some Fridays and Saturdays, we'd hit all the major spots here in town. Well, there's two places where you can gamble. There's this, and there's a racetrack on the other side of town. And then there are different hotel bars you like to stop at. Now, another person at the place told me I shouldn't be telling you any of this. With you, you're probably not going to run into this guy anyway. But someone at the company told me he used to work with the same client, and that he used to take him to strip clubs until the someone somewhere with sanity, I guess, put their foot down. Exactly what the issues involved with that, because he was an adult, and he was making his own money. He was in his own custody. But it does seem odd to have, somebody, an assistant, someone who's there paid to help you get around and whatnot. They get to be your chauffeur. That didn't seem quite right. So I was certainly glad that I had missed out on that particular part of the process. And I just violated about 7 million HIPAA rules by telling you that, I didn't tell you his name. I don't think I could tell you his name anyway. I'm not sure I remember it. But there's some interesting, he kept me out here rather late a few nights, and had to call my supervisor, wake him up at 2 o'clock in the morning, say, what do you want me to do? I guess you can't leave him there, I guess that was another thing that happened. Somebody left him there. He couldn't get home. I have to watch myself because I don't. I told him a bit of a fib when I left the company. I shouldn't be telling you all this stuff. This is terrible. This is an awful thing I'm doing right now. But I had to tell him this because he didn't like people when they left. He got all screwy about when they people left. So I had to make up this story about how I was going to take care of my father. And he was very, very, very much on board with that. But now I have to, whenever I come to the casino, I have to watch out, make sure I don't run into him. And I do have a cover story planned that if he ever does see me, that I'm in town for training. Because the idea was you can get this if somebody needs, in home care, you get a license for delegated nursing, and then they can the state can pay you to do it to live in. It can be your parent or anybody. As long as you get the proper forms filled out. So he was familiar with that process and knew, and it was an entirely logical thing. And since he didn't know my father, it didn't become. But now, if he were to see me here now, I would tell him that I'm in town for some training, and that would make sense too. So see, we have this web of deception that will continue to expand as that I've never seen. It's been 3 years now. 3 years? Yeah, it's been 3 years since I had that job. And because I left it to go do the test grading, the computerized, standardized test grading of the parts of it. We didn't do the computerized, standardized. We did the parts of it that had to require somebody to read the answer, like essay questions or math questions where you get credit can get partial credit if you started it off okay and then didn't finish it off okay. So you need a human being to look at the answer and or look at the work, show your work and all that, and make that determination. So I did that for a couple of years. Not for a couple of years because it doesn't, it's only, it starts like in April and goes through June. The testing season when the kids are taking these tests is the time when you're sitting down and grading these things. And then they moved away. They kept moving further and further from the center of the city, and it just got too hard for me to get out to where they were. So I didn't do it anymore. I actually had an opportunity to do it. I had to choose between that and the retail job that I'm doing now. And I chose the retail job because it has the potential to persist beyond, the few weeks every summer that the test grading thing did. Plus, the test grading was happening so far away, although not all that much further away than the retail job. Then the retail job is on the on the bus line and the test grading job is not. But then there are crazy people on the buses. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? I would dearly love to find a job that's closer to where I live. And I go around and I look, you know, at places and I should send them a resume. You know, just cold call, send them a resume. But I never do it. And I don't know, is it, am I lazy? Am I fearful of rejection? Am I fearful of success? Am I afraid someone will actually say yes, and then I'll have to do it? I'll have to deliver on my description of myself as the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't know. I'm holding on to this retail job, and I think it's the only retail job I'm ever going to have. So, you know, I'm not going to throw it away easily. The reason I say that is that I haven't had an opportunity. I haven't gotten any other of the retail jobs that I have applied for. This particular one, I had a friend on the inside who was helping me to get the job, and some of the help that was given was to answer the questions on the psychology test that they give. And I've noticed in a couple of places, Sears would be one, that I took this, you know, everything was going great, and I took the psychology test, and all of a sudden everybody's interest kind of waned. So I didn't know what it was I was doing. I mean, I'm not telling everybody that I'm an expert or anything like that. It's just these, they give you like a scenario and like four different things you could pick that you might do. And evidently I wasn't getting the answer that they wanted. And so my friend on the inside gave me a few pointers. Now, she didn't give me the answers, but she gave me a few pointers on, you know, how to think about these questions. And they were not the way I would think about them, but I, given the little bit of coaching that I got, I was able to get enough points on that psychology test to qualify to sell the wares of this company. And I don't, again, not something I see myself doing. Well, I have 14 years left until Social Security. So do I? You keep slogging along. I mean, I'd probably get through 14 managers. I mean, they change that fast. I'm getting a lot of hours now because a number of managers and plain old soldiers like myself stepped aside. They quit. Well, actually, one of them transferred out to someplace else. And so, you know, there's one, there's the manager, there's one team lead, and there's four soldiers, and that's it. We're doing everything. And, you know, slogging through it. And then, but then, you know, when the new people get hired, I'll go back to what I was doing before, which was not really getting me where I needed to get. So, you know, all these things weigh on my mind. Hold on, let me check the time here a second. Okay. And just as I say that, I'm starting to get a good feel for this now. I just got my 90-second warning. So I thank you for listening to my show this evening. I didn't really get to any sort of point. I said in my preview that I was going to talk about Bastille Day, which is the day that the Bastille was stormed by French revolutionaries. I don't know, maybe I'll save that for next week. But then again, it doesn't make any sense next week because it's not Bastille Day. Nothing else really to tell you. I'm going to get out of this parking lot and I'm going to go home and get some rest and back to work tomorrow and be a good corporate citizen for y'all. Call back next week. Love you. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.